I was going to say a barrel in your mouth, but all right.
That's only for nighttime.
Welcome to Breaking the Panel 219, Volume 3. As we do tonight, things get a little bit more loose, a little bit more shaken up. The guys don't care that the music's going. And you get some random stuff in the intro. That leave in there. I just leave it and make everybody figure it out. Oh, man, it's been an interesting night. I'm getting tired. I don't know what's going on with me. I guess I should take it back to the regular show thing here on Twitch. So, but Jenna, you're awesome. Thanks you for being in tonight.
Jesus Christ, get your shit together.
I don't
know,
man.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Phil, I would, but you're my hero and my idol, and so I'm just trying to follow you down to self-destruction path.
Attaboy, yes. Come down here in the well. We have loads of low serotonin. So, because I'm just so fed up with this lifestyle that we're all living now, and I haven't been doing well mentally, I've been thinking a lot about fears in our life that we can stem back to a traumatic point in our life in childhood. And what fears have we had that were installed at an early age that we still to this day deal with? And what fears did we have when we were younger that once we got a little bit older and saw how the world has worked has, you know, fallen by the wayside? So, you know, when I was young, for some reason, I was terrified that at any point a black hole was going to open up in our galaxy and swallow our Earth whole. Now, as a 30-something-year-old adult, I know that that's pretty much impossible. But for a very long time, I was terrified of the concept of black holes. Couldn't understand them. Still don't really understand them. But I don't fear them like I did, you know, when I was six. You know, my fear of bees from a young age led me to believe that I was allergic to bees probably for fucking 25 years. Wow. Until I got stung 3 years ago and said, I'm not dying. Okay.
That wasn't so bad.
I guess that's not a thing. So I wanted to hear some of yours, and then we can get into some things that we've conquered and gotten over throughout our lives.
A swan named Emily in the chat says, constantly concerned about quicksand as a child.
I was literally going to say that. I think Mike Birbiglia has always, I think that's in his routine, that quicksand's not as big of a problem as we were led to believe when we were kids. Yeah.
I don't know. What's one of yours? Did somebody else jump in?
So my dad, when we moved to Goodland, he had a building that his business was run out of, and it had this shitty old awning out in front of it, or on the front side of it. And Goodland got quite a bit of wind through spring and early summer, you know, during tornado season and stuff. And it was just starting to rip this awning apart. So he needed to unbolt it from the building, and he's like, hey, 8-year-old kid that weighs you however much I weighed back then, you're light, the thing won't come crashing down if you're up there. So he sends me up there with a ratchet or with a socket wrench, and I'm supposed to start taking the bolts out of it, you know, staying on the part that's still attached to the building, and then loosen the section, then he pulls it down. So as we're going, you know, I'm already nervous because I wasn't the biggest fan of heights at that time anyway, but now I'm literally like making this thing fall in front of me as we go 4 feet by 4 feet in these sections. And then we get to the last section and he wanted me to loosen these bolts. And he kept trying to tell me like, it's not going to fall with you on it. He's like, you're not heavy enough. Cause he was like, you saw how much I had to work to pull it down. And I froze. Like I was in a fetal position, bawling for 15 minutes before he calmed me down enough to get me down. That one last section is still up to this day on that building. it still has not come down. And it wrecked me for heights for the longest time. Like I couldn't do the high dive at the city pool, which, man, I mean, that was only like a 12-foot that, you know.
Do you still have issues with heights?
I do. Not as bad. Like I can still operate and do things. I do what needs to be done, but it's not something that I like doing.
See, and I never had that phobia of heights, really, because I don't know, it never hit me. And I noticed that while we were in Ireland on the cliffs of Moher, like this is a 50-foot drop to jagged rocks and there's no fencing up there. And I just sat on the edge of the cliffs of Moher for a while, just looking at, you know, peril below me and how just a one slip, you know, could put me, you know, onto those jagged rocks, and I didn't have an issue with it.
Yeah, see, and I couldn't do that. I would get to the edge, mm-hmm. I'd start getting that little queasy. I couldn't do that. But it's weird because, like, you guys noticed when we were at Dragon Con, like, I'm pretty sure of my footing. So you, like, Charles getting nervous every time he felt like I was getting too close to the edge of the subway platform.
You were getting too close to the edge,
but I was fine. Like, I knew exactly where I was and I was fine, and so I can't make those two work together. You know, I would think that as sure-footed as I am on something that is, you know, 4-foot drop, it would be the same. I mean, accounting for wind, but or what have you, but I couldn't do that.
Do you get nervous looking up in the Hyatt, seeing all the rooms that are like 50 floors above you? No.
No, because I'm down. I'm good.
So, like, I don't have problems with heights, but when I jump in a video game and I jump like a giant fall,
oh yeah,
I get pitted. Like, yeah. I can feel my stomach drop out from under me. So it's only in video games where I'm scared of heights.
Yeah, I don't have any fear of heights, but like, I have intracranial hypertension, and if I go up in elevation, I start getting that like woozy, gonna pass out feeling, and I'm like, oh, this must be what people feel.
I hate ladders, man. I've been
a big dude, though.
I've been big for as long as since I've been a teenager, right? And when you're supposed to be working, climbing, and we always had the crappiest, oldest, jankiest ladder. Exactly. It's like
wooden ladders. Yep.
You get up on the roof, I'll hold the ladder. Like, no, I'll just climb this tree up on the roof. I'll get up on the roof, I'll do backflips on the roof. I'm not climbing up that ladder. And yeah, to this day, now I'm like, you know, 6'10" and almost 400 pounds. Like, no, I will hold the ladder. I'm the anchor, bitch. You climb up that ladder. I'm not doing it. I've never had a problem. It just, yeah, no.
So for me, and one I had to get over very quickly, was spiders. I was completely arachnophobic until 2012. And then on the first day or second day of working on the farm, I had to disassemble a greenhouse. And inside all those panels is just Spider-Vania. So they all just came out onto me. And that was it. Like, as the spiders washed over my face, so did my phobia away from me.
Where this is that 90% lie, right?
No. Yeah. But now, you know, I've got no issues. You know, if I have a wolf spider in the basement, you know, I just either catch and release or just stomp the hell out of it.
I swear to God.
Because of that immersion therapy, I guess. No.
Yeah.
If I go to Australia, I'm carrying a gun with one bullet in it, and that bullet's for me. When those monster spiders come out, and they have bam, I'm done. I'm out. No.
Fucking bird-eating spiders? Yeah, no thank you.
No.
Yeah, I had a wicked fear of spiders until I actually got bit by a brown recluse on my chest.
Oh, Jenna, you have the worst life.
I have the actual worst luck with anything in the world, but I have a good life. It's fine.
Polly.
Well, I'm arachnophobic. I have a fear of heights. I freak out on like roller coasters. One of the best stories ever is when I was 7, my mom lived in Orlando. And so I went to visit her for a month during the summer, and they took me to Universal and they took me to Disney, and they took me on Space Mountain. And what's the other mountain? I can't remember.
No. Splash?
Is it Splash Mountain?
No. Yeah, maybe Splash Mountain. I don't remember. But they took me on all the roller coasters.
Go ahead. Yeah.
And there's a picture of me. My mom turned around and snapped a picture of me with her camera. And I'm just sitting in the back of the coaster on Space Mountain. Just, I hated it. And it's ridiculous because when you see what it looks like inside Space Mountain when the lights are on, it's such a kiddie coaster. It's not even a real, like, it's not a big deal. But it's the dark and the lights and everything.
Oh, yeah. But, no, I messed with you.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's just, it's, it, I don't know. It just, and I blame the movie Arachnophobia. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. I blame the movie Arachnophobia. I watched that with my dad. Have hated spiders since. The fear of heights thing is just, I've always been afraid of falling. But my big fear is deep, dark water, thalassophobia.
So this is one that we share.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell that story.
Well, just basically, I grew up, you know, like we had a summer camp, which wasn't far away from our actual house, but it was over on the lake nearby, Keota Lake in upstate New York. And the water is really dark there. It's like, because there's motorboats on that lake and there's tons of silt that you can't see anything. And I hated it because we had to swim in the channel right in front of the camp. And like, it basically, there's a foot and a half of bank. The beach that you can walk, and then it just drops like 12 feet. And I hated it. And I've never been a super strong swimmer. I can swim okay, but like I would drown at sea. Like if I was off, I'd be like five seconds off the boat. Oh, I'm dying.
There's enough room on this door for you, Paul. Nope.
And
bye.
Because I'm scared of water like that. The only time I've ever been able to swim in deep, dark water and not care about it was one time I was party barging it up on Oneida Lake here in upstate New York. And I jumped off of the boat we were on and I was in the water for like 10 minutes. And then I got out and I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm probably never going to do that again.
That was like the most dangerous time to go swimming.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Yeah. Not very smart, but that was years ago. Anyways. But the big thing is I still love the water, though. Like I grew up obsessed with ocean life and I love like seeing fish life and all that kind of stuff. I love aquatic life. It is Phil, sorry, that was a plug for you.
Thank you. Like aquatic, yes.
Yeah. I'm always obsessed with it. And growing up, I genuinely thought I wanted to be a marine biologist someday until I realized that I would probably have to dive and that's not going to happen, but I love it. And so like I'm in the thalassophobia subreddit where people post scary stuff of deep, dark water. I'm in the submechanophobia subreddit where people post machines because their fear is machines in water for whatever reason. I think it's an interesting one. It's fascinating. Every single day, I watch videos that could trigger my fear of deep, dark water. And the big one, the piece de la resistance, is Subnautica. That game is so fucking scary. So scary. Philip, your turn.
Well, no, and that's another thing that's really interesting and fascinating about fear is that we go out and we search for things that terrify us because somehow we get comfort off of it. Mm-hmm. I'm also part of the subreddit. So like I'm doing the exact same thing, you know, but it's just, it's interesting to find a safety blanket on experiencing something without actually having to experience your fear in real life. But I'm the same. Dark water. I hate it. I had a friend in high school who had a pool that was blacked or like a dark green tiling. So at night you just couldn't see anything.
Yep.
And I couldn't get into that pool and everyone's like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I'm good. I'm real good. No, I don't need to do this.
It defies logic, right?
I hate it.
It's a primal instinct where you're like,
there's boogums in there.
Yeah, there's a boogum in there. There's a shark and or a crocodile waiting for me in that
and
water.
And that's the thing, right? Like, I know there's not a crocodile in that pool because we're in Pennsylvania and it's a pool. Well, you know, we're not in Florida.
I watched Piranha Double D. I'm just saying they can go anywhere.
Yeah. Wait, but I just Piranha Double D? Is that on Pornhub?
Yeah, I think so.
That was a softcore porn, a true sequel to the reboot of Piranha, yeah.
Yep. So you guys should never go to the lake or the ocean with me at all because my favorite games to play are, is that a snake or a stick? And fish or corpse hand? Who knows?
Fish or corpse hand. Phil needs a second.
We play different games up here in Pennsylvania.
Well, so one time I was swimming in the ocean in Tampa Bay and we were there just hanging out on the beach. Our hotel room was right on the beach. It was awesome. And I went out into the water until I could basically just kind of buoy and put my feet down every so often, but I was mostly just treading water. And I probably a little dangerous. I probably went a little too far out, and I probably would not do that now because I'd worry about riptide. But I'm hanging out there. I'm just doing my thing. And I'm like, because I was trying to get away from the crowd on the beach. You know what I mean? It's just kind of try to enjoy the water. And then I'm treading water and I feel something brush against my leg for longer than I'm a split second. Yep. And yeah, I immediately went back into shore. I didn't panic into shore because I know better. Because I know if you flail, like if you get scared and you flail,
it's going to get you.
If it's the thing that you're worried about, it knows that you're panicked. So I was just like, I'm just hidden now. But I definitely left a trail of like chum behind me, if you know.
I never had fear until my parents put it into me a little bit. We're in North Carolina, and I still to this day I'll go up to the top of the Marriott. It's usually where they put my room for Dragon Con is in the top of the Marriott, and I look down at the clubs and see all the little ants partying in the club down there at the bottom, and I don't have any problems with it. My only problem with edges, little side note, is I kind of want to jump off of them. Not to kill myself, but like if I'm on the roof doing lights, I'm like, that's not going to hurt me. It's a lot faster to get down by just rolling up. Right? You just feel like
that's what I felt on the cliffs of Moher. Yeah. Like just this gravitational pull
on my chest. I was going to say, that's called gravity. It's been identified.
Yeah. Anyway. So, how does it work? It's enticing, though. You're like, oh, I could make it, I guess.
But I got in trouble. We're in North Carolina, somewhere with my grandparents, and I was a little kid, and we stopped to do the whole mountain overlook thing, and I guess I was being a little dickhead or something, and it was a good 2-foot thick wall, and my dad decided to put me up there to put me in timeout, and I'm looking, and all I see is a sheer drop-off, because I'm, you know, 7, and I don't know any better, and I'm freaking out until they locked me into the hot car with the windows rolled up, and then I was fine. I went to sleep fast. But no, I was like,
yeah, you did.
Parenting.
My only thing to this day with edges, like with you, Chris, is that kicks in. It's not that I'm afraid of it. It's like, no, it's just because it takes an inch to fall. That's it. It just takes an inch. Come back over here. Be safe. Be cool. Yeah, you know.
Silence! Silence!
I must not fear. And fear is the mind killer. And fear is a little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. I must not fear.
Breaking the Panel is made possible by you and other listeners just as awesome as you are. If you want to support the show and get a little something in return, just go to patreon.com/breakingthepanel, because we do appreciate the help.
So, and I think we've talked about it before. I can't remember the name of the movie, but there's a movie I remember watching in the 80s when I was a kid. And so this is that one of those irrational fears that I have, similar to, you know, you knowing there's no crocodile at the bottom of that pool. You know, aside from the Jaws thing, where when I was a kid, I always look in the toilet before sitting down because I was sure that he could, is the garbage disposal in the house. What, I can't remember what fucking movie it was, but there was that movie where it was like a robot house or some shit, and the AI and it goes bad, and there's a scene where it tries to get his hand in the garbage disposal. So now, anytime a spoon or something falls down in the garbage disposal, like, I make sure nobody's in the kitchen.
You flip all the master breakers off.
I approach the sink very slowly. As my hand is going, as my hand is going in, my eyes never look away from the switch. And then I reach in and I do my business and I'm out as quick as possible. But yeah, I now for life, I have this irrational fear of garbage disposals just turning on. So.
Yep.
I think one of the Final Destinations had that at one point too.
Yeah. I love
that, and
movies.
I always check the power cord to the table saw just to make sure it's not plugged in while I'm walking past it.
Yeah,
I have a fear of unexpected weather, also known as like tornadoes.
Nor'easter.
Oh, okay.
So like, from a young age, like they can just pop out of nowhere and cause destruction. Oh, that's awful. How do we stop them? You can't. Oh, all right. Can they happen? Oh, they can happen anywhere? Sweet. So last year, as I was driving home from work on the highway, I see this real dark cloud on the horizon, and it's literally in the direction of my house, and then a little cone starts forming as it's coming closer down the highway, and I was just like, oh, fuck this. No, fuck this. Fuck this. And it's literally, it's forming in front of me and dropping down. So I went an extra 10 miles on the highway just so I could make a giant loop so I didn't have to go anywhere near that murder cloud that did zero damage in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania.
My dad took me storm chasing a few times when I was younger, because that used to be a hobby of his when he was like in his 20s. And so that's... growing up in Kansas, you don't really get to the benefit of just having that fear. That's a normal way of life. That's, you know, normal. But then when you get exposed to going to see those clouds and those storms and knowing, like, looking for like wall clouds and looking for, you know, just the drop, other things, you know, to help steady that fear, I guess. But yeah, I can imagine if you're just not exposed to it and need to see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Charles, you may remember more than I do because I was a small child in the 90s, but, were there like fucking tornadoes every other week for a while in the 90s?
Yeah,
because I feel like we were always in the hole with a mattress over us.
With a mattress, I love it. Yeah, no, I was in South Georgia, so we just watched on the news all the wreckage all them centers up in the big city are getting. but yeah, no, it's rare in Georgia, especially this far inland because of the wind, whatever. And then in the city, but yeah, Atlanta, I think it was 93, 94. They got hit multiple times in one year with tornadoes flying through the suburbs and the downtown sections of Atlanta. It was crazy.
You know, that's interesting. I wonder if that was part of the same like storm system that we here in upstate New York, we had microbursts when I was a kid in the early 90s one year. Like, I think it was one or two years in a row, we had really nasty ones. Like, so if you're not familiar with a microburst, it's essentially like tornado strength winds, but it's localized and it doesn't do the spinning that is iconic of a tornado, but it will just chop, you know, deciduous forest down, like every tree for like this weird swath through the woods, just push down everything, completely fucked. And you can still, like, you can go on certain trails and stuff in the Adirondack Park, and see just huge sections that just, for like a quarter mile, every tree for like 100, maybe 100 feet wide, completely destroyed. And then the new growth has come in since then, because it's been, you know, 20 years. But I wonder if it was part of all of that, because it still happens once in a while, but it was like, it seemed like one or two years back then, we got hit hard multiple times and people were starting to be genuinely scared of it pretty much everywhere. So it was, and that's scary stuff. That's the kind of stuff like your house just disappears.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah, poor Philip.
But yet, you know, I find comfort in subreddits. So, but it's interesting to hear different phobias that people have. You know, all of ours are kind of common. You know, common phobias. I have a friend who's a trypophobic, which means he hates small clusters of holes in organic things.
I love it.
Oh no.
That's so specific.
Yeah, it's very specific. And he can't do it. He cannot do it. So like, it's kind of my stop all button. If he's getting too out of control, I'll just slide my phone over to him and he freezes. yet he still can't show up on time on Tuesday. Weird. Oh, no. So yeah, it's just interesting to hear other things and how you guys have either dealt with it or gotten over it or haven't.
I got two more actually for you.
Yeah.
Well, one's a fear, the other one's just, it's not. And everyone's like, oh, you're afraid of this. Like, no, you don't understand. I just get pissed off. But I am afraid not of bugs, right? You know, it's where they're gonna go. And I have literally woken myself up in the night where something hit my face. Could have been the blanket. Could have been my wife's hair. Could have been a roach on my face. I don't know. I slapped myself so hard I made my ear ring. Just like tinnitus, right? Just woke myself up, left a handprint on my own face. And I don't care, because it ain't in my ear and it ain't in my nose. I'm all right.
You gotta sleep with a stocking on your head like they do in Raising Hope. So that the spiders don't crawl in your ears
as
you sleep.
Oh, my God. See, that's just fucked up.
Just earplugs. Just get earplugs.
Can I make you cringe real quick? No. 2 minutes before we started doing the live show, I found a tick inside Danny's earfold. Yeah. Inside his ear. So yeah. I was like, huh, all right, gotta pull that out, bud. You're gonna enjoy this. You ready?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So, is there anything that like you, because we're, you know, Phil, we're talking about like looking at the stuff that freaks us out. What comes to mind immediately for me is that there's one thing that I cannot watch without freaking out and just getting insanely anxious. And I'm just going to, I lose it. I get really uncomfortable. And that is the videos. They're usually Eastern European or Russian, but the dudes who climb all over buildings with no.
Yeah.
I love that shit. Free runners. Shit.
But they're going out on like, they are 100% in situations where the slightest screw up is just their end. There is no room.
And some of them do, you know.
It happens. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It happens.
I watched that and my paramedic kicks in like, nope, that guy died. Yeah, there's no way he survived that one. We're good.
I just can't, my skin starts to crawl. I get hot and sweaty and I'm just like, I can't do this. Like, I can't watch this. I'm so worried about them falling and they're like jumping from rung to rung on like girders and stuff. And I'm like, stop it.
Dude, what about the old picture from like 1912 where they're building New York and they're eating lunch 40 stories in the air on the,
No, I'm not scared of those because, I don't deal with heights, but something I have issues with, especially in horror films, is hand gore, finger gore.
Oh yes, no
fingernails. Yes.
So no. There's a scene in the remake with Jessica Alba of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and she's getting drugged down the stairs into the basement, and all you see is her nails getting ripped off her hands as she's going down in the basement. I used to have a fear of all of that. Until Botched incorporated it into a season and they beat it so fucking far into the ground that I no longer have a fear of a finger gore, but still like, oh man, I can't imagine just like having all your fingernails unwillingly ripped out of your hands.
I've had not all of them. I've had a few of them done that way.
Oh, I lost all 10 fingernails once when I was younger because our garage door was closed. So I closed it with my hands inside the wedging. And so when
smashed door,
the kicker was we were on the way to the hospital already because my sister broke her arm. So we got like a buy one, get one free trip.
Yeah, two for her.
So, I slammed this one in a door. I didn't really slam it. I was an idiot and I put my fingers inside a door jamb on the inside and just letting it close to see how much pain I could stand before I had to do that. And like some wind came and went in just real quick. That's all. I had to soak this finger in peroxide for like the night. And then like a few hours later, like the nail just like fell off. I just kind of sloughed off into the, that was a bad day.
I was playing around with my cousins one time and we were like chasing each other through the house or something, and one of them went to run into the bathroom and close the door, and I reached out to stop the door and got one of my fingers in between the door and the jam on the hinge side.
That's a bad day.
Charles is loving this one.
I teach this in EMT and advanced EMT class, and I just feel it in my hands when those mangled pictures go up and we have to show this is what it looks like. And I've run it. It doesn't bother. I don't throw up. It doesn't bother me, but I feel it in my hands when I see that stuff. And it's like, nope, I'm good. Let's move on. I can't stop feeling it till the picture goes away. That's why I don't watch the gore scenes. It doesn't bother me. It's like, no, my hands won't stop feeling that shit until I get past it.
And that's like a whole other subject too, is like, cause that's a good, just like watching movies. And when you see things that happen that you feel in the movies, like the fingernail thing, first Mortal Kombat movie, the Scorpion fight, when he slams his shins on that pole, like every time, every time.
One of my roommates, back in the day, we went to go see, I think it was like the second or third Saw film, the one with the hypodermic needle pit.
Oh, the needle pit. Yeah,
three, yeah. Saw three or four. Somewhere there.
So he's a pretty tough guy. Like, he was, you know, hard worker, like just like a farm boy, basically, not scared of much. And he is deathly afraid of needles. And that scene, he was sitting next to me in the theater and he started like kind of hyperventilating a little bit. And he almost got up and left. And I had to turn to him and I'd be like, dude, are you okay? Are you going to be okay? And he's like, yeah. And he's just, you could tell he's just barely keeping it together. He was freaking out, man. Stuff like that. It's not like it, I think it's, yeah, I don't like it, but it doesn't freak me out on that level.
Then needle pit broke me.
Yeah, no, that
like
one was
that,
rough.
Just like, yeah. That's a scene I can feel even now.
Yeah,
I just Googled a picture of it. And
yeah, me too.
That.
I was looking up, and you're right. It is too. But balloons do that for me. I hate balloons. I can watch them all day long. I don't care. But two things get me. One, as a child, I loved them, and they were the best thing ever. And I got traumatized by bullies who would run by and pop my balloons, or act like they were going to. So I kept holding them out, waiting for an explosion, and then it was just ruined for me. So I hate when
they pop.
We're just
looking for the drugs, Charles.
Yeah. But the pop of it, it sets me on edge now if I hear a balloon pop. It doesn't scare us. It's like, I just want to punch somebody in the face. But then the other thing about it.
You should ban latex balloons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because that's the other thing is the damage. When I was going through EMT and paramedic school, and they're talking about, here's why you don't give kids balloons. And they're showing the gory pictures of how they bent into a balloon and it ripped their face open with the explosive force. So, yeah, and people like, they think it's funny, they'll bring them to me and they're, oh, I'm not scared. You don't understand. It makes me want to punch you in the face. Yeah.
What about that deep sound anger of someone holding a balloon?
No,
and
no,
their hands down it.
No, yeah. And there's something wrong with the balloon. Yeah. There's no moving air inside of it. It's a void.
You're fucked up. Fucked up.
You're messed up. You know what?
I've got a buddy he'll put tin foil in his mouth and chew it in front of you. Just
what the fuck?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
With people?
Is there anything that fucks with me?
There's no way he has fillings, but man, he'll do it and he'll get it's like glee in his eyes as you're like, stop.
It's like deception. Because I don't have fillings, so like I could chew tin foil for hours.
But why?
I don't have fillings, but no.
I don't have fillings either, and just
if Botch goes to Dragon Con, I think we're just going to eat foil on stage for 2 hours.
Oh, my God. I'm out. Paul, what's the hit, man?
Our humble hit for this segment is we had two pretty interesting things drop recently. We're going to talk about one of them right now. City Skylines, which is a city simulator game. There is a big, fat, huge, very well-priced bundle for City Skylines. The top tier comes in at $18. And my understanding is this comes with the base game at the dollar tier and one expansion, a bunch of DLC expansions at the Beat the Average, which is $7.65 right now, $18 for the full thing. My understanding is there's only three DLC missing from this thing entirely, and it is literally the first one, the most recent one, and one that they just gave away through some other promotion. So if you've ever wanted to play City Skylines, it's been on your wish list, and you wanted to get a whole bunch of the DLC super cheap, this is your time. This is what a lot of people have pointed to as saying this is what SimCity, the one that EA put out a couple years ago, should have been. Really polished game, and so check it out if you're into city simulators and building your own cities and doing all that kind of stuff. It's a really good deal. This is right up there with that Europa Universalis bundle of a couple months ago, where you're just getting a mountain of stuff out of it.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff there, and if you like the simulators, if you like building the cities and doing all that jazz, it's I heard really great things about it. I get some of those, but some of them I don't understand, like Farm Simulator. I it was free on like every platform.
Phil's gonna hit you when he get back.
I don't understand.
Talk shit about Farm Simulator.
No, for Phil, it's life simulator. That's what it is for him. But we'll be back. We'll be back in a minute. Go check out the links. They're all on gsu.net. If you'd like to support us, hit us up at patreon.com/breakingthepanel. And we'd appreciate it. We'll be back with the volume 4 here in just a moment on twitch.tv/gsumedia.
If you want to get in touch with Breaking the Panel, you'll find Charles at Rock God of Pod. Phil is at Imaginary Nomad. Chris is at In All Things Wisdom. And Paul can be found at Soapbox GSTU. If you love the show and just want to support what we do, hit us up at patreon.com/breakingthepanel, and you'll help us make this thing each and every week. If you want to watch the show live each week, go to twitch.tv/GSTU and follow us to know when we're recording. And if you're looking for more kick-ass shows like this one, go to GSTU.net.